Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Today is Tuesday, July, actually, it's Thursday, July 18th. This is a meeting of the South Kingstown Technical Review Committee. First on our agenda, we have approval of the minutes from June 12th, 2019. Do we have any corrections, comments, thoughts on those from around the table?
Can I just suggest an edit on the, at the end of it, we have your issues identification?
Yeah.
Potable water, could you amend that? Okay, let's say potable water via private wells would be required.
Yep, via private wells?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think that's what the applicant is
proposing.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you, John. So with John's correction, are we all satisfied with the minutes?
Move approval as amended.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So next on our agenda, we have a request for reinstatement of combined master plan and preliminary plan approval for a major land development project entitled Hampton Place Full Build-Out. It previously approved four building with one existing full build-out development totaling 40,000 square feet. This is located on Assessor's Plat 50-4, Lot 24 at 4847 Tower Hill Road. Chatham Properties LLC is our owner and applicant. Do we have anyone here representing the application?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Brian King from Crossman Engineering.
And I am John Hedad, for those who all new faces, it seems. Been a long time.
That's what I was thinking, too.
So, if I may, we did receive the combined master plan, preliminary plan approval for this development in 2015. And with the tolling, the approval was extended. But now we're at the point where we do need to request a reinstatement of the approval. And I'd be happy to go through the plans, answer any questions. One thing I would like to state is for this approval and for the plan preparation, we also did need a DEM RIPD's approval, and that is still valid with the tolling as well. That permit is still valid. I do have proof of that if anyone wanted to see that.
So were there any changes at all?
No, we're going with the same plan. The plan did show it's 5.17 acres, and actually on within that area there's an existing building, Kajai.
Kajai, 7,500 square feet.
That's about an acre of that site. So the proposal was to continue that development with three new buildings. So at this time, one of those new buildings is going to be constructed, and the stormwater system and the utilities will be constructed as well.
So one of the things I was one of the ones that was here at the original, but representing the planning board, I know that some of the big issues related to not some of the issues were the traffic flow and such, with especially with the neighbors and they're wanting a gate and such. So now that we actually have the hotel next door, and my understanding, the neighbors were going to be getting a gate.
It's already there.
So do you propose any changes now that we're seeing those existing conditions? Is that something that you might want to?
There's no changes because we addressed that issue already on the plan where you cannot take a left. So that eliminates the issue with the condo association.
Great. Because I know that so now that we have those existing things, it's like, okay, now let's look at that. But as you're saying, Mr. Adak.
Right. We did angle the driveway where it would be directed as a right turnout. We do have signage.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, before the gate was installed, John and I actually met with...
We met with Mr. Butler.
Just to help him out.
At the condo.
You know, with the gate.
You know, we lined it up, and everybody should be happy with that.
And that's, you know, on the west side.
Where is the gate in relationship on the site plan?
It would actually be to the west side, I believe, of the...
It'll be on the boundary, the back boundary line of the lot, of my lot. And it's perpendicular to Hampton Way. It's actually a little bit more in, if I'm correct, Mr. Butler. It's a little bit further in on my land.
The gate?
Yeah.
Yeah, the gate is right down by the property line.
The property line between
the borders between Camden, Wakefield Meadows.
Hampton Way, yeah.
Right, Hampton Way. If you extend that parking lot across Hampton Way, that is just about the exact location of the gate.
So here.
Right.
This might be a better plan. There's the gate.
Existing one, but look, I had a question on the parking.
Okay.
But they show that they're using only 60% of the building, and that's how they're calculating their parking. So I'm just wondering what the other 40%, how, because there's no calculation for that.
Yeah, actually, what we did is the proposed use is it's a combined professional office and medical office, and that's how the parking was broken down, is what percentage of the development could be professional and what could be medical, because there's different parking requirements for those. So that's how we did that.
Well, like for under the parking schedule for the existing phase one, it's a 7,500 square foot building.
I think some of what was subtracted for that was, let me see, like any hallway that wasn't being used, you know, what that includes is it includes like the examination, the treatment room, office, waiting room. So that would be that portion. And I believe this was reviewed, you know, with the town during this process, and that was acceptable as far as calculating the parking. There was no waivers required or variances in the way that we calculated this. So it was really the unusable space that was subtracted from the formula, or space that wasn't being used for medical, I guess.
No, it's one per 100 square feet of examination, training, office, and waiting room, but we don't have any floor plans.
Right.
So they're assuming 60% is only going to be used for the medical, 40% is cars, stairs, I would imagine, but again, we don't have any floor plans, so it's just...
I guess that would be confirmed at the building permit stage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult to plan ahead what tenants you're going to get. So you just go through basically what's required,
mm-hmm.
and that's what basically we've done.
What seems reasonable as far as what could be built, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's God knows, we could end up on the next two buildings after this one with one building that's 20,000 square feet strictly for office use. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I just know that medical use.
They always use more.
There's never enough parking.
Never enough. Absolutely correct.
So is there some sort of provision, and I can't remember what I'm blanking out on that conversation, because I know that there was a lot of issues about infiltration and green infrastructure and snow removal. How do you incorporate that for parking? But I'm just wondering if there's a way to, you know, it's kind of like cumulative impact, that you say at this point you have this kind of a building, and next week you could change it from cops to an office, but at least you know what's happening then. So then if they're building one next one, and you say, okay, that's that use, if you see that it's really intensive, then the uses after that either have to change use or change configuration to accommodate parking.
Yeah, it's just tough. It's tough to
stay
on top of it. You
obviously,
know, because time goes on, people change. You know, it's better sometimes if it was a gross, then we wouldn't have to worry about it. But assuming it's just 60% of the building is going to be used, that's going to have a parking impact. But mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the regulations say: 1 per 100 square feet. They've made the assumption that only 60% of the building is going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
I just brought it up because I just
It seems to me it almost would have to follow forward to the building permit. I mean, I see the challenges of that, but it almost seems like we have to sort of follow it forward to any time that seems to be changing, right, or confirming that we're always staying within that window where you're within the 60% being.
Correct. It concerns me as the owner that I have to be aware of how many medical users are here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already know it's very intensive for parking. We made provisions for the snow plowing collection area in this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Did we not?
We did.
Yeah, we've done that. We addressed that because you lose about 15% of the parking in heavy snow. That is a well-known fact. But going forward, it's really in my court as to who I'm going to bring in here, and obviously all depends on the market. Could be an office user that wants 10,000 or 20,000 square feet. In that case, if I do a two-story building, I probably won't do the fourth building.
Yeah.
It's not set in stone. It's impossible to know what the future holds.
And the stormwater system, that was designed based on the amount of impervious area. And there's no intention to increase that impervious area. We can't, actually, without modifying the DEM permit. So,
So one of the things I had passed around to everyone, the TRC members at the start of this, was an excerpt from our subdivision regulations, which are the findings that need to be made for reinstatement. For sort of clarity and for sort of diligence sake, I'm just going to read through those, and if anyone sees a scenario, something that they want to sort of point out or any place where we think something has changed, let's sort of work through it in that way if that works for people. So first is that the subdivision is consistent with the comprehensive community plan. I mean, I believe that was vetted at the time we were approved, and we do not have any changes to that plan that would affect this at this point. Next, we have the subdivision regulations are substantially the same as they were at the time of approval. That also will be true. We have not done amendment to the subdivision regulations aside from to change what was in our checklist for what you submit for a project, but that wouldn't be applicable because you've already submitted. Third, we have that the zoning of the subdivision parcel is substantially the same as it was at the time this was approved. You're still located within the special management district, and we have not made any changes to the special management district. Next, we have physical conditions on the subdivision parcel are substantially the same as they were at the time of original approval. We talked a little bit about what's changed around you recently with the hotel going in. Seems everything, from your opinion, seems to still work on the site. There's no changes related to that. The gate that went in at Hampton Meadows is located more interior to the Hampton Meadows site than your access. Is there anything else anyone sees with physical conditions changed on the ground out there that we would want to consider?
The only other thing is I know that one of the concerns was traffic. So given the hotel there now, you know, just as a potential to see if that's about the same as what was, you know, because that's kind of a constrained traffic area.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe we, when this first came about, when the traffic studies were done, you know, even when the condominium proposal was out there, because that was part of Mr. Haddad's project, you know, we did some traffic studies.
Right.
And you know, you have existing conditions and you have projected conditions, so
right.
It does project for development based on the zoning.
Yep.
So I think it takes that into consideration. So that was, you know, maybe not the exact use, but I mean the general.
Right.
My understanding of the traffic study.
Yeah, so it just might be at some point, I don't know if it is appropriate to kind of go back and say, okay, that looks consistent with what was being projected or not. So I don't know if that's within the jurisdiction, you know, it's kind of, we have an opportunity there. This is what was projected and this is what it is now without doing, you know, is there due diligence or is that just saying, okay, yeah, it was done. So I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, maybe it would be beneficial if we can sort of just get a confirmation from your office that the traffic study, you know, did look at projected developments on that neighboring site, just so that, to Pam's point, that we do acknowledge that the physical conditions right around you have changed a bit, and making sure everything does still seem to work.
Do you need the traffic study or a letter?
I'd say we have the traffic study,
right,
as part of our file on the original project. So basically just a letter describing how things may have been the same or different. Just
right, we can have that. The traffic engineer, the traffic engineer who worked on that is still with us, so we'll
great.
Have him prepare a memo.
That just that it's good. That conditions now, so it's consistent with what
right.
you projected.
Right, okay.
So next on our list, we have any applicable state or federal regulations are substantially the same as they were at the time of original approval. We've spoken to the DEM validity of that permit still and submitted a copy of that correspondence describing that it still is valid there. I don't know of anything else. Does anyone know anything? Can think anyone else around the table of something that they think may have changed? I don't know that I don't believe that there is.
I don't believe so.
Oh, and then finally, fair share development fees, and those are related to residential leases, so they don't apply to you. So that is a very easy one for you.
Okay, do you have the original conditions of approval?
Yeah, I do.
I'm just curious what you say.
Yeah, bear with me for a sec. I'll grab it out of the file.
Actually, I have a copy here.
Even better.
I think it's what you're looking for.
Kayla, while we're paused, I had a comment on sheet C11, the tree protection device at the RIDOT. What they do is just strap on 2x4s onto the trunk, and we should be going by what we have in our subdivision regulations instead. Consulting with the tree warden about tree protection methods. If we can't do a perimeter around the drip lines, 10 inches of wood chips over thing, because it doesn't address compacting of the soil or crushing of the roots. It's just, if you're that close to the tree, then a 2x4 is going to save it. You've killed the tree anyway through soil compaction. So we should stick, I think, to the subdivision regulations that we have.
Yeah, you can incorporate that.
Okay, I'll say that would be appreciated if it can be incorporated. It's an interesting thing when we have the reinstatements because of the findings that go along with it are assumed basically that we won't reopen. We assume basically that everything was approved was as it was. And so to David's point, it is different from what our subdivision regs have, and so if you can incorporate it, it would be appreciated. We acknowledge that the plan was approved with something different. It certainly seems it would yield a better outcome for everyone if we can.
Sure. I mean, that's no problem at all, but how would you like us to incorporate? Do you want us to revise the plans or just an agreement?
I was going to say, honestly, I think we would just attach it as a condition of your reinstatement.
Yeah.
It's just that you will adhere to those, and I'll enumerate in that what those standards are and where they would be found.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, something else that occurred to me, we focus on new development of the area where the hotel is, but also since this, we have that new subdivision to the south, which is those five buildings, right?
Oh, yeah, the Tower Hill condominiums.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if there's anything, was there a retaining wall? Again, I'm getting a lot of these kind of confused. Is there a retaining wall on your south end that was a concern?
We had a proposed retaining wall inside the site,
uh-huh.
along the parking area between the parking area and the stormwater basin.
Okay. Right.
And
oh, right.
And
the retaining
and
go on the boundary to.
Well, yeah, it was actually right along the pavement of the parking area.
Yep.
And then extended to the corner of the parking area and then just went up to the building
right.
3 location. But.
Okay, so nothing. Wait, there's an existing rock wall.
There was a small wall actually on the south side.
Oh, it does
say
retaining wall, yeah, on the.
Yeah, yep.
5 feet.
But just looking at it, it's a good 20+ feet from the property line.
Right. So I remember there was concern about the cut and fill there, but that was already passed. I'm just thinking about with that new condo association if anything changed. So that's just the question. You know, obviously they would do stuff on their property,
right,
you
right.
would do something on yours. But I'm just putting it out there. I just realized that was the other side.
Yeah, yeah. What we're proposing would simply stay on our property.
I don't know if Wayne has been out there since that's been built in terms of the condos
yeah.
on the south. If there's any changes that you would think need to be addressed for this property in particular.
I was just looking at the lighting. Because we constantly get complaints
on
lighting, but I mean, looking at, looks like you're just doing luminaries that on a stanchion on a pole.
Yeah, it's like a lantern type, and
yeah.
it's similar to I think what's going down Hampton Way.
Yeah, the only concern would be, and I looked at the elevations, I think it would be any lighting that projects out.
No, we
site.
Have. Nope, we have a photometric plan.
All right.
That does show the Focano levels.
Yeah. So
and
it looks like
we're trying to follow the dark skies principle.
Being handled that. That's been one of the complaints for another abutting property that we're dealing with the condo owner. So it looks like you're addressing it here, so I wouldn't have any issues.
Yeah, I think in the past you guys have been very consistent with trying to lower your
What
light
we've done in this particular building,
yeah.
we've got dimmers as well.
Okay.
We're going to be using LEDs because we already went through that issue before.
The other one, yeah.
And I don't want to address it again a second time. So we do have dimmers, the smaller lights on the building, and basically should not affect the condos. It should address their concerns.
Any other thoughts around the table on this one? So our sort of standard course of business, and I think it seems to me it might be reasonable to do here as well, would be to recommend this be approved by the planning board as part of their consent agenda, assuming that prior to the planning board's next submittal deadline, we get the letter from the traffic engineer and that meets the standard and shows that there is no change. So with that condition and then a condition for the tree protection standards meeting the subdivision regulation standards as opposed to the RIDOT standards. Does that sound appropriate to everyone?
So we affirm the original condition.
Yeah, yep, and all other conditions of approval shall remain.
One quick question that has nothing to do with your boat.
Sure.
The Koch building, you go by it from Route 1 and Hampton Way, you hardly see it. I put so much landscaping, and now these trees have been starting to mature. They're starting to encroach on the parking lot. Who do I see? Who do I talk to selectively thin out some of those trees? Anyone have a suggestion?
Yeah, you're talking. You're asking sort of from a getting proper permissions point of view.
Yes.
Who you would talk to?
Yes.
So you would work with our planning department to talk through what would be considered a maintenance activity and at what point that would be changing of that buffer enough that the application would need to be reviewed by the planning board.
Okay. So submit to the planning board a request.
Yeah, basically, submit a request, and what I would tell you is submit a request to the administrative officer of the planning board for determination of maintenance activities versus clearing, and we can have a discussion on whether or not the thinning is something that falls within a maintenance category or would alter that buffer in any way, and then we would move it to the planning board if we find it is an alteration of that buffer. But I also know that several other properties along there have been working to clear invasives, et cetera, out from in amongst things. So we acknowledge there is a level of maintenance that needs to happen to keep that successful for everyone.
Okay. It's been a concern for tenants. Tenants, I've heard so many complaints, even the new tenants that I've been negotiating with say, goodness, we can't even see the Koch building. You can't see it from Route 1 for sure.
Yeah, I'll say that the piece to it is if what you need to clear is about clearing to make sure the parking lot stays functional and as it should, then you're going to find that there's a little more leeway there likely. If it is clearing to make the Koch Eye building more visible, you'll find very little leeway there because our intention is that the buildings not be visible as much as possible.
It'll be on my property, not on the state property at all. It's shameful because these trees cost so much to put in, some of those species that are put in, but they've grown so much that they're killing, one tree is killing the other tree, so to speak, because it's so thick.
Yeah.
That's something I will plan for this building, the next building, that it's away from Route 1, so it should be a non-issue, but I do spend the money on landscaping. Everybody should know that. You know, I don't skimp on landscaping. I think it's beautification. It's good for the park. Thanks for answering the question.
I would hope that I know that that was part of this, is the internal signage for where buildings are. I actually used the Koch building, and I had a hard time finding how to get in. And with the signage on where to park and where to go in. So that's with one building. So thinking about four buildings, I hope that that gets a little bit clearer. That's just from a personal perspective.
That's one of the issues, as a matter of fact. We have trees on the exit that, in my opinion, I need to thin out. But they're away from Route 1, so that's not an issue.
Oh, no, I don't know if this was landscaping.
Yeah, I think your signage, I think people will get used. I mean, we have main entrance.
Yeah.
And we have that exit entrance. We will have a service entrance as well, way in the back of the property. So my intention is to put signage similar to what exists on the service entrance, and probably enlarge, if I can, through planning board, the main entrance sign. When I'm saying large, meaning vertical, not horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
we can
any changes you end up finding you want to make just as you're moving things forward, talk with our department so that we can make sure anything that triggers a change that needs an application, we work through for you.
Okay.
Keila, just as a point of, will the conditions go in, what goes in the planning board packet in terms of the consent agenda?
Yep, so what would go in the planning board packet is the submittal package that came in from the applicants. I believe the final plan approval was actually part of that, but if not, I supplement it with
Thank you. I was going to suggest that would be a great idea. Okay, good.
All right. That being said, we have a motion to the effect of recommending approval of this by the planning board as part of their consent agenda with the three conditions we discussed all
so
remaining.
Moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And anybody against it? All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you
all, really. Wayne, how are you?
Good job. No, I didn't recognize you at first, and then I was like, oh
I swear
God.
To God, Wayne, I second-guessed. I said, this is going to be Wayne. Have you talked to our friend, Greg?
I have, yes. How you have you been?
He's doing well.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
nice
good to
see
you.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Not knowing that you're in charge of this development,
next
I feel much better now.
Worry not.
Absolutely.
August. That building came out beautiful, by the
yeah,
way.
It did. Thank you.
And the good tenants.
We send out... Brian,
my next one is my office building. You know, I moved my office here.
So if you can get that letter to us like 10 days in advance,
I've been here
for
years.
Then I can make sure the staff comments say everything is in order.
I got to rehab that building, and I got to see Ernie.
Oh, do you?
You know me, I go by the book.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
John, good to see you.
Very nice to
see you,
John. Thank you.
Next on our agenda, we have development plan review for Ministerial Road Scenic Highway, Michael McGrath. This is construction of a new residence and driveway through the required wooded buffer along Ministerial Scenic Highway. Located on Assessor's Plat 46, Lot 59, on a vacant lot located off Ministerial Road, Michael McGrath is our owner and applicant. Good morning.
Good morning. I am here. Surprise.
Yeah.
So...
You can do all the talking. I'm just observing.
Your mic?
Yes.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Okay, so if you all would start by just kindly stating your name for our record, and then we'll just jump into things.
Deborah Grant. Sandra Draper. Hi.
Hi.
Michael McGrath.
Wonderful. Thank you all for being here. So if you want to start, just give us an overview of what the application is and just a quick summary of what we're doing, and we'll sort of go into questions and just addressing anything we need to.
Okay. Well, hopefully we've got everything that you require. I need my glasses. With the exception of the plan from the lands, the approval from the landscape architect, which I believe he was dropping off to you. Did you get that, Mike? Did you get that?
I didn't physically get him. I met him at the lot, but okay. I don't physically have that.
Well, he didn't have a problem with that, did he?
No.
He said he'd sign off on it. So that was one of the requirements that you had on the...
Will that be sufficient, a letter from the landscape architect saying that the boundary that is there is sufficient for coverage?
Yeah, you
the road frontage.
Yeah, Jay and I were talking about this a little bit this morning.
You're Jay.
And so what I'm going to do, just because I'm a fan of clarity, is so within the ministerial, I'm going to backtrack for a second and then answer your question is where I'm going to go here. But so within the Ministerial Road Scenic Highway requirements in the zoning, there is a requirement that where existing vegetation, and I'm on sort of under 605.64, where, and I'll read it to everyone just for everyone's clarification, where a new principal or accessory structure is proposed, existing vegetation along the street is minimal or absent, and such new construction will be visible from the highway due to lack of vegetation, topography, or other similar characteristics. Planting of a natural vegetative buffer containing plants consistent with the Ministerial Road native plant species, and that will provide a year-round screen shall be required. In such cases, the building permit application shall be accompanied by a landscape plan prepared and stamped by a Rhode Island landscape architect. So part of our discussion at the planning department review on this DPR application has been looking at the existing vegetation that exists on the property's frontage on Ministerial Road. I will say, it is my opinion that a letter from your landscape architect would be sufficient as opposed mm-hmm. to a full landscape plan because of the fact that that buffer is wooded. Your site plan shows the pictures. It is
right.
There's not a scenario I would say right. that is lacking vegetation.
Right.
Our concern and the reason why initially you had been pushed towards getting a landscape plan prepared was that the limit of disturbance showed a significant amount of clearing within that vegetative buffer, sort of coning out from where the driveway attaches to Ministerial Road. And were the limit of disturbance actually that in that area cleared, it would be very likely minimal vegetation in that area does become minimal or lacking.
Okay. And the last plan, the one that I sent PDF to Jay on Friday, and you got hard copies on Monday, I had actually adjusted that limit of disturbance. Mm-hmm.
So around the table, the plan set people see will show that coned out limit of disturbance, and since then the applicant submitted one that brings that limit of disturbance in a bit. So
that's
they,
what I, yes.
Yep.
So I was responsible for that.
Yeah.
All right. So it went outside your 50-foot buffer.
And so what I would say is the letter from the landscape architect, we would like to see that letter from the landscape architect acknowledge that following siting of the home, that buffer and the remaining vegetation that will be undisturbed will provide a sufficient year-round screen mm. and buffer mm. to meet that requirement on the head. So the language on
right.
that's what we'd like to see it say.
Right.
We'd like to see it acknowledge that following siting of the building, that the existing buffer as depicted on that site plan will remain and be sufficient, and that they have visited the site personally to determine that it has and not just
okay.
sort of seen,
so
seen a site
do
plan.
Do you normally put that in writing so he has something to address, the landscape architect can address those particular things?
I don't usually. I usually tell you all right now, and
okay.
if you want me to, I'm happy to type that up in an email so it's clear and no one has any confusion. But
that's because this has been an ongoing thing, and I'd just like everything to be absolutely clear.
Yes, I think we're happy to put that in writing to you,
right.
and Jay or I can send that your way.
Yeah.
I think the plan needs that your plan needs to be tweaked, right, for the driveway.
Oh yeah, go for it.
So your plan needs to be tweaked a little bit. The limited disturbance on the revised plan doesn't account for the driveway disturbance within the buffer. You only show it going along the front yard setback on the second page?
I do because, yes.
So that's the old plan. So the plan that we received on Monday has it going along the front yard setback here, without showing disturbance of the clearing of the driveway.
Okay, no,
it's a minor detail. It just needs to.
Okay.
Obviously, the driveway is going to be a point of disturbance.
That's the final DOT. Oh. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Yes, I'm aware of that. The whole purpose in this was to make it very clear that the limit of disturbance of the construction, with the exception of the driveway,
but the driveway will obviously require clearing of the buffer in that
yeah.
location.
Mm-hmm.
So, functionally, I think what we're asking is just submit an additional revised plan. That shows that limit of disturbance following where the driveway disturbance will be as well, so we have
yes.
a clear
yeah.
depiction of exactly what
okay.
will be disturbed.
Yep.
Yeah.
It all comes back to the fact that our area of interest is that 50-foot buffer in the front, and so any
sure.
interaction with that we want to make sure is very clear.
Yeah. Well, that was the reason why, well, we swiveled the house around. I moved the driveway up right to that on the north side of the power pole, so that when you go down the roadway, you're actually, this is going down, obviously, and so you actually can't really, you wouldn't be able to see the house and everything else when you get down to this point here, because this is the road is going downhill, and there's a bit of a berm here, and so with the driveway being at the top of the road, it's actually less obtrusive as the house is. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then coming up, you don't
see it because you're coming up the hill, and then the land itself is quite a lot higher. I think it was about 5 feet higher than the edge of the pavement. So there's quite a steep little buffer here.
And I see that the garage doors, that, you know, that it swiveled so that the garage doors don't directly face ministerial.
Exactly.
Road.
I addressed all of those things when we swiveled this around. That was way, yeah.
That's where I wanted them originally before I even knew the requirement.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
well, I didn't have anything to do with that one.
So those were sort of the planning department comments on it. Are there other comments around the table from TRC members?
So the only other thing I believe that we need, apart from those things, is the fire.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
so
and that came into
good.
Me for Chris.
Thank
so,
you.
So you all should really be all set. So I think what we've
good.
Talked about today is adjusting the plan to show the limit of disturbance
mm-hmm.
brought in there, certification from the landscape architect. With those being said, so functionally, the way our ministerial road regulations work now is that when it seems that the vegetation will be altered and it might be minimal, you end up here in front of us all for development plan review. That development plan review can be completed by the TRC. It seems to me we're in a position right now where everything is addressable. So what I would say is, for those around, we move approval with those conditions. Do we have a second on that?
Before we second in discussion.
Okay, there we go.
I just realized I did not have one of you guys gone out to look at the existing buffer?
I have not,
other than the pictures on the plan. There's some photos.
Photos are fairly clear.
At the bottom of the second page.
It's actually not gorgeous. Because a lot of the trees and bushes are so old, they've taken a lot of damage from things falling down.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I like trees and bushes myself, and there's not a lot there.
Yeah.
That's, oh, this is wonderful. It's sustained a lot of damage from things that are broken.
Certainly.
So
I was just wondering, David, did you look at more of the landscaping?
I did not go out there, no.
Okay.
Just the pictures that they have there.
Okay. I'm just wondering about the plan, if we're all good with the landscaping plan. So.
I think from our point of view, we're okay with the landscaping plan, assuming that the landscape architect goes out and sees where this is, where you're going to be clearing for the home site, and what that buffer is. And we'll basically, and I'll send you the language that we need him to specifically hit, but basically I'm going to pull it directly out of the ordinance, right, that continues to maintain an effective year-round buffer. If he believes anything needs to be supplemented in there to make that happen, we'd like to see that being part of the letter as well. We don't necessarily need a full landscape plan for it, but if he believes that there's opportunities or places where something needs to be supplemented, we'd ask that you ask him that as part of this.
He did say something about some of the native bushes are so tall and scraggly that actually cutting them back to get them to bush again would be a good thing.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I think that that's the intention there.
Right.
And obviously,
right.
You know, that's what you're looking for anyway while
right.
you're building
correct.
It. So I would like to just make sure that that buffer looks like
it's,
you know,
managed.
It's managed and
yes.
enhanced, because as you're saying, it looks like there's been some
it's straggly.
And such.
Mm-hmm. It's all along that road where it's been left,
yep.
it's very straggly. And
so you have an opportunity to enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're having discussions with your landscape architect and you acknowledge the fact that there's damage and stuff in there, you like that. If you have plans to remove anything in there, and that would be the time to kind of address it.
Actually, when we were walking it, where the driveway is going to go, it's kind of a natural opening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind
mm-hmm.
of when we were
that was
the
whole purpose
put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that if you're to be able to put some more. Some of the vegetation that we've talked about for a screen on that buffer.
There's mountain laurel.
That's
the quite
well
the mountain
a lot
laurel.
A lot of very
mm-hmm.
tall mountain laurel that's only
that's very
pushy
steady.
At the top.
Right.
That's
yeah,
what you said, cut back and let
that.
It push out again.
Mm-hmm. He had Howland Green go out and look for it
mm-hmm.
and look at it. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he lives right in that area.
Right.
And he's really familiar with it. And he's been doing it for
great
long.
Millions of years.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that I think that the letter to state that would be useful,
mm-hmm.
and or mm-hmm. you know, amended on the plan.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have a vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, so thank you all. So you will receive a written development plan review approval with those conditions attached to it. In the meantime, we'll send you the language that the landscape, the specific pieces we want the landscape architect to move on. Yeah. Honestly, it might just come in there because the condition will say it specifically, so maybe I'll do it in one shot and send it to you.
Will you be emailing it?
Yep, we'll email. We email it so that you get it as quick as possible, and then for official sake, we'll send out the certified copy to
okay.
you.
Okay, so I can do this on Friday.
We just need a slight plan change then and the letter from the architect and we're set.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What happens after that?
You go
as far.
You get building
permit. I can get,
yep.
okay.
And then you get a building permit. just
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Next on our agenda, we have preliminary plan review for a minor subdivision, 2337 and 2353 Kingstown Road, a proposed three-lot residential subdivision serviced by public water and sewer, assessor's plat 4024-4, lots 4 and 5, located again at 2437 and 2453 Kingstown Road, Alexander M. Cruikshank, Revocable Living Trust, and Irene B. Cruikshank Family Trust are the owner and applicant. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Jim Aukerman, attorney for the Cruikshank Trust. And this is a subdivision where we're taking two existing lots in an R20 zone, moving the lot line between the two lots, and creating a third lot out of the two existing lots, sort of infilling a residential area. There's adequate frontage, there's adequate square footage. We require no variances. There's town sewer, town water, as you just mentioned. And we're going to need to do some cross easements for the, or joint and perpetual easement, rather, for the existing driveway that's going to be shared by the two existing houses. And three deeds to complete the creation of the subdivision.
Questions or comments, thoughts around the table?
John, is that for tying into the sewer and water, are they going to require, kind of, I assume there's no curb cuts there. Is that state?
State road, yeah. So it's got PAP. Driveway in two more units. I guess there's gas there too, so there's gas. Any utility cuts they're going to get from the state?
We would.
And then an additional curb cut there, obviously. John, do you see any concerns with any of the traffic?
I mean,
it's
just
close up to.
I think we all know, even probably the existing driveway at times of the day,
it's difficult.
They're going to have problems getting in and getting out. You know, people don't know why, so, I mean, it is what it is.
I guess there's no way to, because the next lot, I mean, in the ideal world, it would be wonderful to say, oh, well, wait a second, Cruikshank, do they own the lot to the
north?
North, thank
no.
you.
We're going to talk to, that's the Crossways apartment.
Oh, right.
We're going to talk to them, see if we can share that driveway to avoid putting in another curb cut, but we haven't approached them yet.
Yeah, that, I mean, that would
be nice if we could do that.
Yeah, especially then you could also go out to Morrisfield Road,
right.
or, so.
Does Jerry Lane use that entrance?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just the apartment.
It just helps to.
Yeah, no, I do.
our point of view, this is, and yours as well, I imagine, this is pretty straightforward, simple subdivision. Always nice to see an infill development, especially when we can tie it into public utilities. The idea of shared driveway, the shared driveway for that lot would be great to see. I understand it relies on the cooperation of a neighbor.
We don't have any control.
Right, exactly. So we'll leave that too. We appreciate mm-hmm. that you are talking about that with the neighbor.
They go on the Kingston, they go on the Morrisville
Road. Yeah, I think it's just the crossways that use that.
Mm-hmm. We talked about the joint perpetual use. You talked about having the easements for the shared driveway on the two southern lots there.
Mm-hmm.
PAPs for utilities and access prior to development, prior to building permits.
Yep. And then we'll also show on the final plan where the sewer and water connections are going to be.
So the owner is the same.
Two trusts.
Two different trusts. Okay.
Yeah.
Cruikshank family, though, seem to have owned.
Same family. Yeah.
And a matter of that back.
Elaine.
She's the trustee of both trusts. That's Alex's and Irene's daughter.
Got it. Okay. So she's just like, okay. So I'm just looking at what's on the names on the lots here.
Do you have any preference, John, on where the water and sewer hookups are?
You just need to make sure you've got the 10 feet horizontal separation.
Okay.
And then, again, if you're putting gas in, you got to factor that in. I mean, this one is off each other.
All three need to be separate trenches.
Yeah. You check Henry Meyer.
Okay,
so, I mean, the minor subdivision, we don't really have any outstanding issues here. Adjoining perpetual easements would come in at final plan for recording. We talked about the physical alteration permits for utilities and access. We would encourage you to continue to pursue those shared driveways just because of the known issues out there with how congested that intersection gets. But with that being said, those with our standard conditions for acknowledging public water and sewer, the creation of three lots only, joint and perpetual easements, and the physical alteration permits as discussed, the TRC can recommend this go consent agenda to the planning board as sort of the normal practice for a minor subdivision. If we don't have outstanding issues with it, I suggest we consider that. So do we have a motion to that effect?
So moved. No, you go, John.
No, ready.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did I'll Pam John last right. time. We'll do John Pam the other way around this time.
Yeah,
so Pam
mm-hmm. John.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
It'll be on August.
Yep, so you expect to be on August.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's right up here. I think, is it over by those cups there?
Okay, next on our agenda, we have preliminary plan review for a minor subdivision entitled Daffodil Knoll, a proposed two-lot residential subdivision serviced by private individual wells and septic systems, AP8-5, Lot 5, located at 339 Santurn Road. Rocco D'Angelo is our owner and applicant. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Cherie Jackson. I'm the engineer of record, work for Jackson Surveying Incorporated. We also have the homeowner here, Rocco D'Angelo, for any questions. It's rather straightforward. We've got roughly an 8.8-acre piece of land. We've had it flagged and verified for any of the wetlands. We have determined that there's sufficient upland, unconstrained land to develop two lots using the frontage along Santurn Road. As Kayla mentioned, this will be serviced by on-site wastewater treatments and on-site wells. There is an existing structure on the parcel. It's been abandoned for quite a few years. It's overgrown and stuff like that of that nature. So, and the integrity of it isn't that great. So Mr. D'Angelo's proposing to actually tear it down and rebuild new. which actually increases some distances to the wetlands and make us be able to provide a little better protection for the wetlands there as well. So I think it's just rather straightforward, you know, frontage off of an existing road. Is anything else, anybody else got stuff?
I know you all have a notice of incomplete submittal on the department for just the calculations on that upland area, just to sort of make things perfectly clear and without question.
Yep, so we'll make that revision to the plan. We've basically, lot one's got 80,500 square feet, and lot two has 80,325 square feet. So we do meet the R80 zoning.
Were you able to delineate both sides of Santurn Road?
We were not. There's no platted on record of Santurn Road. This parcel along this section and this section was all the Hargraves. It was all kind of like combined together. We've pretty much delineated like an old fence line that we found across the road, but not to any survey standards or stuff.
The town's never accepted it. The town road.
What was that there?
The town has not accepted Santurn as a
town road.
I mean, there are quite a few in town, actually.
That's a town road.
That's a town road, I thought.
Town road. You're thinking Sand Plains Trail.
Okay.
Which happened to me.
Yes.
Which happened to me.
Well, I said we'll all laugh because I was.
You just asphalted it. I hope not.
It happened to me this morning. I was looking at it and I was downstairs with Jay and I was like, Santurn Road is sometimes an easement and sometimes a road in different sections. It is all over the place. We need to check this. And I pulled it up and I was like, oh, I'm very foolish. Or not foolish, but just crossing wires.
So you didn't stop him before he said it, though, right?
Well, that's funny.
Nice.
I'm like, wow, there's two of those in town. But I was thinking of Sand Plains.
Yeah. Same down by Montucky. You got Sand Spitz, Sand Sprite, Sand, Sand Piper.
Are there any town trees or the driveway entrances that are proposed?
There are a couple large pine trees, but we're going right between the pole and a pine tree. We can delineate them if need be. We did choose that area only because of the grades, because if we came like straight to the house, we've got like a 3 to 4 foot bank. We didn't really want to like cut through the bank and have to retain it and stuff, so we tried to.
Can you just show the town trees?
Sure.
The town right away?
Sure.
And then because we just paved that road, we want to probably a 10 or 15 foot paved apron into the, so we're not having trucks.
Actually, you already put one in. You mean for construction or for?
No, for the permanent driveway.
Yeah. I think they put, you did one on
the existing
driveway. The existing house.
Did you use the existing driveway then for that?
For lot one, but lot two.
You only need one curb cut.
Yep.
Yeah, we just don't want to see the edge of the road.
I don't either.
Yeah.
That road was atrocious. It's finally nice, but now they speed on it.
Yeah.
So we can put it back the way
it is. I don't know. Might be okay. I didn't mind. I don't mind going slow. My son lives in this one. I own this house too, so my son lives here, so I don't like them going that fast.
No, I don't.
You should consult with the tree warden about the protection methods during construction for that pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think there's any on the tunnel.
I can't remember
the
if they're on
it's
the
all,
lot or right next to the edge of the pavement, but
I think it's
take them.
Like 5 feet away, 10 feet away from the edge of pavement.
You may need to make some clean root cuts, but you need to consult with him on that.
In the status of your OWTS permits?
We have not submitted yet. We wanted to get through the TRC just because of the wetlands and stuff like that, just to make sure that we weren't gigged for anything. Our next step will be to actually submit. So, lot one under zoning is allowed to upgrade. It's currently on a cesspool because we can't meet the 150. However, it's an existing situation. As long as we meet the standards of section 504. So that's why in lot one we will be proposing a denitrification system leaching to Elgin's. Lot two, we are able to maintain the leach field outside the 150, so that will just be a conventional septic tank gravity fed to Elgin and drains as well. I don't believe you need the OWTSs for preliminary, but we're most likely going to have them because that's my next step.
Yeah, if you have them, you have them. We would ask for them prior to final.
Okay, yeah.
Would this be going to CONCON for the 504?
You would actually, I do believe it does go to the Conservation Commission when you upgrade a system, but actually that's a question for Wayne. Wayne, do you know? Or these guys?
It'd be for the building permit.
Yeah, it'd be when the change is made more so than for the subdivision, but.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it would still go to them.
Well, one is going to be within 150, so it will require it.
I think the question is whether 504 has a provision that an existing system being upgraded isn't subject to review, if it's got that provision in it or not.
I believe it does. In my interpretation, that's why we proposed a D-night.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the ordinance also requires, doesn't it require a D-night within 150 feet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has to be one of those systems.
Which all seems to line up then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
But I don't think it relieves you from getting a special use permit.
It has to meet the alternate technology. If it's within the 150, if it's a replacement.
I didn't think we need a special use permit because it's an existing situation.
No, you don't.
Right.
Oh, you don't.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
So with that, I think the special use permit is what triggers the CONCON.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So Wayne, would we handle that at the time of building permit? How do you have a preference for when that gets drafted?
Yeah, building permit is fine as long as we know that the system is updated to meet the standards and mm-hmm. you know the ultimate technology of what you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we would be looking for.
Okay.
And then the other one just be a standard because it's outside of that perimeter of 150.
So just to clarify, no special use permit, but just...
Any development which includes construction of a new dwelling or the complete replacement of an existing dwelling shall be located in areas outlined below, except by the granting of a special use permit if you're within the 150. But
okay.
It's a replacement.
It's a replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
As long as it meets the 504.4
standard,
yep. The updated technology.
They're demoing the building now.
But it's the replacement of the system.
It's not, because when you read that, it says it's
big. Yeah, that one, but it goes on further.
Okay.
If it's located within 150 feet of freshwater wetland or coastal wetland, may be replaced and or its associated leach field appeared upon approval by the building zoning official without the need for a special use permit if the replacement or repair meet the performance standards for alternate technologies.
Okay. All right, other thoughts around the table on this guy? All right, so let's do a little quick summary just because it's always helpful. We talked about, revising the plan to show
we'll get the revised
the trees
plans. Yep.
That might be within the town right-of-way
mm-hmm.
in that area. You will need physical alteration permits for your driveway, curb cut for lot 2. Am I right on that?
Correct.
Yep,
correct. At time of building permit, correct? Or
prior.
Yeah, you.
Yep,
building.
So that's fine.
Okay.
I would just ask as a condition of approval that the paved apron be as
paved apron, yep.
Yep.
Okay.
And so we'll have a condition of approval on the paved apron of 10 to 15 feet for that on the curb cut. And then when you apply for that physical alteration permit,
we'll
see if the tree warden needs to take a look at that and make sure things are being followed appropriately.
So is cement an alternate, or
you'd have to, we want some type of
hard surface.
Yeah, hard surface is not removable.
I think all the ones they cut in were 5 feet.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you wanted it to match all the existing ones.
Yeah, I mean the whole goal again is we don't want the brand new edge of pavement being built.
Okay.
You want that
preserved.
Actually done before. You want your construction entrance at the back side of the apron.
Right. So put the apron first, then my construction end. Okay, no problem.
In some of the larger subdivisions in the past, we've asked to put some sort of markers on the wetlands buffer to just delineate so that people don't go mowing the wetlands. But I'm kind of going blank on that. David, do you seem to recall, Kayla? Some of the larger subdivisions.
I was going to say, I only know it in ties to the old
conservation. He's like
conservation
based.
Oh, like in a conservation, in a development where there's.
Right, because we did it at the preserve at Pleasant Hills. Built that subdivision. So we did it there.
Right.
We put the metal poles in, the 2-inch galvanized poles.
Right.
Where the conservation land started.
Okay, so it's when that, right, that open space, the subdivision open space. Okay.
What's the date for the revised plans? Is it 2 weeks from now, normally, right?
Oh, yes, and I think this, it's on our website.
It's on the website. I'll look it up.
It's on the website on the submittal schedule on there.
Okay.
Functionally, it's 2.5 weeks before the
planning board meeting site, right. Because we will be on the August meeting then, so
yes.
Plan for the submittal before that. Okay.
Yep.
And the 6 copies again, and the PDF again, or just
nope, actually, so yeah, well, it's 2 copies for the full-size plan.
Yeah.
The PDF revised,
yes.
And 10 reduced 11 by 17 copies to go to the board members. Yeah, but they're the little ones. They're not the ones that come with the price to have the price.
A lot of trees to kill that you want to save.
That's why we made you
trees.
Save them. Because we
time
out.
Yeah.
So with this one, with the conditions as discussed, are we okay with recommending this for the consent agenda of the planning board? Do we have a second?
Second.
Probably. All those in favor?
It's like you're meeting going.
All right.
Share the wealth.
No, we want him to be there because otherwise people are going to think that he wasn't here.
Yeah.
Does somebody want these?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne.
You're
welcome. Chris, I lost my glasses. That's why I was fumbling. I thought I was going to have to read something. I was getting nervous.
I know. We are very nervous.
Okay, and last on our agenda, I'm going to read this, and then I think we're actually just going to sort of continue it or table it, or honestly, we likely won't pick it up. So request for reinstatement of final plan approval, major land development project, South County Post and Beam, a previously approved major land development and administrative subdivision to subdivide and construct 4 buildings on Assessor's Plat 22-4, lots 10 and 76, located at 305 Liberty Lane. Ken Bouvier, South County Post and Beam, is the owner and applicant. There's no one here representing the applicant, and so, to be honest with you, I have had discussions with the applicant I've communicated to the applicant and have not heard back from them. I don't know that this application actually needs a reinstatement because reinstatements are required before you record your final plat, and the final plat for this has been recorded. And so pursuant to our regulations and state statute, once they have actually recorded those mylars of the plan, it is only if they deviate from the plan that a reinstatement or change is necessary. Reinstatements are what keep your intermediary approvals open until the point you can record. And so I have communicated that to them, that I was unsure why they felt they needed to request a reinstatement without them being here today to describe if there is some reason why they have a differing opinion on that. I say we just leave this matter for now, and if they feel that it should come back, we will put it on the August agenda. But it's the position of the planning department that it is not necessary to reinstate this approval to begin with. It is recorded as is, and we don't reinstate recordings.
So it could go as proposed, move forward.
Right, their approval is valid from our point of view,
right.
Because they've not changed it, and they've recorded the plan, so there's no reason in our mind's eye, there's no expiration to that. Your final plans, preliminary plans, conceptual master plans all have an approval period tied to them, at which point they expire if you haven't taken action. All of those get you to the point of recording. And once recorded, it's only if you deviate from what you were approved that you have an issue. So we will leave that for the time being unless someone brings additional light to that topic from their side. So then we're done.
What's the date of the August meeting? That hasn't changed.
Nope. Okay. That'll be the standard one, second Tuesday,
yep.
Wednesday. I want to call it a Tuesday today for some whatever reason that is.
Yeah, me too. You're welcome. All right.
Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All right.
Cool.
Thank you.